Rosinas on Air, the Criminal Compliance Podcast.
Welcome to the Criminal Compliance Podcast. My name is Christian Rosinus, and today we have a very interesting international topic again. We will talk about white collar crime in Chile. And I have a fantastic guest here with me on the podcast, Daniel Pretorius from Chile. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you, Christian, for the invitation. It's really a pleasure to join this podcast with you.
It's great to have you here, to have you on board regarding this very interesting topic. I learned a lot about the new and recent developments in Chile. And before we go into detail about the white-collar crime situation in Chile, maybe you can outline a bit to our listeners, what are you doing in Chile? Where do you come from? And as we all know, you're a very international place there.
Yes, I'm actually head of the dispute resolution and white-collar department at Lembeya Abogados. Lembeya Abogados is a full-service firm here in Chile. We cover almost all law practice areas, but I focus mainly in white-collar. I'm also supervise all civil litigation matters, but I focus particularly in white-collar matters. But that was not always the case because I started my career as a corporate lawyer for 6-7 years, also at big law firms here in Chile. I also worked at Freshfields in trade finance.
In Frankfurt?
In 2007, I think, 2008, for about 2 years. And before that, I made an LLM at Albert Ludwig's Universität in Freiburg, where I studied criminal and civil law. That's what I would say my background and my connection to Germany also. And also, I worked 2 years at the Public Prosecutor's Office here in Chile in the white-collar specialized unit.
Well, that's great experience also, having all these backgrounds in various areas. I think it's very helpful, in particular for white-collar crime, to have this also corporate finance background.
Yes, absolutely. If you have this corporate background in commercial litigation or white-collar litigation, it's really, you make a difference in some cases.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's dig into detail. Maybe you can just give us a basic overview of civil and criminal court system in Chile, just for our listeners to understand a bit how this works.
Chilean legal system is a civil law-based system. In that connection, our legal system is derived from Spanish law and other codes of continental Europe. So it's not very different than what you know in Europe, particularly. There was a codification process of Chilean laws in the 19th century, and mainly laws were taken or ideas were taken from Spanish law and French law in the civil system. In the criminal side, our criminal courts were had an inquisitive model, like in the Spanish courts, but that was changed, I would say, 20 years ago. Our whole criminal procedural system was changed and was inspired in the German model. That's also something that is very interesting. We also had some, because there were a lot of professors of universities that studied in Germany and brought all their experience when they were doing or drafting this law. And also we had some advice from the GTZ from Germany in all the process of implementing this law here in Chile. So it was very interesting. And I was starting my career on that year, so it was also interesting to join this new system and this new public prosecutor's office when in its origins. And in terms of the system and the courts here in Chile, we have specialized courts in civil matters, family matters, labor, tax matters, and so on. And obviously, also in criminal matters. And in this new system, we also now we have this adversarial system with a public prosecutor's office, which we didn't have before. It's a relatively new institution. It has 20 years. And the system is very similar as it is in Germany. In the public prosecutor's office, you have first instance courts, which we call here guarantee courts. And they are like courts that are controlling the investigation phase. So any measures that the public prosecutors want to take that may affect constitutional rights of the person's freedom or other rights have to be approved by this court. And also they can judge on minor felonies up to 1.5 years of imprisonment. other cases that are bigger have to be judged by, and this is composed by only one judge, but bigger cases have to be judged by an oral tribunal composed by a panel of three judges mm-hmm. who are all lawyers, which also is perhaps a little different from Germany in this sense. And then we have Court of Appeals, and on top of that, we have a Supreme Court like the Bundesgerichtshof in Germany.
Okay, but you don't have any juries or so?
No, we don't have juries. They're all professional lawyers.
The material criminal law, is it also similar to European laws, or how can you describe it?
Of course, it's continental law. It's not common law. So we have very specific laws for all offenses. And we have a strong inspiration in Spanish law because of natural reasons, Chile was a Spanish colony. But also we have a strong inspiration in German law because, as I say, many German Chilean professors who do criminal law have studied in Germany. So there is a lot of influence of German law here, also here in Chile. We have a criminal code, general criminal code. We have almost all traditional offenses and felonies. And then we have a lot of sectorial laws, which also have particular offenses for particular business activities, or like in banking law or securities law and so on, where you find other type of offenses. But it's very like, I would say it is in Germany.
Yeah, it's very similar. I understand also in Brazil, it's also similar. There's also a lot of German influence in the material law. So what are the major criminal laws applicable in Chile? What is important for you from a white collar crime perspective?
As I said, we have this criminal code, which comes from 1874. Of course, it has been amended, but the classic offenses like fraud or misappropriation or corruption, bribery are in this code. And then you have other offenses like insider trading, securities fraud, or banking fraud that you find in these sectorial laws. But what is very new from our perspective is that since August 2023, we have a new economic crime law, which creates a unique statute only applicable to business crime offenses. This is not a code of economic offenses or business crime offenses. It just states a special statute of all offenses that are described in the criminal code or in other laws, and applies a special statute to these offenses. A special statute in terms of applicable penalties, and special statute in terms of mitigating, aggravating circumstances, and also of alternative measures that can be applied as an alternative to jail. And in this case, this law has been very controversial here in Chile. And the reason for that is because it's, why was this law enacted? Because our criminal system is very old, but also this was this general perception that in business crime offenses, people didn't go to jail. If you steal, a cow, you go to jail. But this big fraud cases or securities fraud cases, and nobody faces really jail time, or only very little jail time. So that was the reason behind this, to introduce a new system in which these kinds of felonies have to face real imprisonment. And the alternative, because here in Chile it's like that. If we have, it's not like in Germany. If you have a penalty of less than 5 years. And you don't have prior convictions, it's almost impossible to go to jail. They are not this short-term, really applied imprisonment measures. So if you have 1 year or 2 years conviction, you will not go to jail if you don't have prior conviction. And that was almost always the case. So almost all big cases with all the mitigating circumstances that you can use, you almost had cases. I was involved in a very big cases, and I couldn't believe that in this case in the US would have to face, I don't know, 60 years in prison. And here the person, yes, had provisional detention of 3-4 months, and they didn't go to jail. So that is the reason for this. And instead of doing what they always did before, was to increase penalties that were described and by law, okay, this penalty will have now 20 years, because always with the mitigated circumstances, you can manage to
reduce to another.
People going with the public prosecutor and all, where no one wants to go to trial. So you really manage that this case settles without imprisonment. So what they did was to change this focus and say, okay, the problem here is that we don't want that this typical mitigating circumstances apply to this case. So they say, okay, for economic crimes in Chile, the general statute for mitigating circumstances and aggravating circumstances will not apply. Okay.
Oh, that's so harsh.
It's harsh because to not have previous conviction is not more a mitigating circumstance. You always started with one mitigating circumstance, and though you don't have one, okay. To make a normal collaboration with the public prosecutor's office is not anymore a mitigated circumstance. To diminish the harm caused by the offense, also not. So there are a lot of things we had that we used to manage to have settlements with the public prosecutor's office. And on the other side, a lot of aggravating circumstances are now in place that before didn't apply. For example, the extent of the damage, economic damage that you cause. You know? And on the other side, and it's very interesting, it connects with the culpability principle that the higher the position you have in a company, the higher should be the penalty that you are exposed to. So that's very interesting, because now the mere fact that you hold a high position in a company, for example, general manager or member of the board of directors, is by itself an aggravated circumstance. Okay. So before we started with mitigated circumstances, a case, and now we start with aggravating. So that really, we have not tested this because the law is new and also and only applies for cases after the enactment of this law. So it's really, we will have to see how this develops in time. And the other special thing is that if you have this aggravated circumstance that you hold a high position in a company, you are also, you don't have the alternative to have in freedom alternative to imprisonment. So even though you have a penalty of 2 or 3 years, which before you went to jail, now you will face real imprisonment time. So that has changed the whole focus for us. It will be very hard to now to cut a deal with the public prosecutor's office, because probably now the deal will imply effective imprisonment. So it's really, for us who practice a white collar crime here in Chile, it's really a big change.
How is it managed? So, hey, you don't have probably experience, but how can a managing director, for example, prevent being imprisoned just because of his position? Is there any guilt principle, or is it specific offenses applying to this very...
No. This economic crime law applies to all economic offenses, and it's a list that they made of all the offenses that they find in the criminal code and in sectoral laws. But all offenses that you can think of that are related to business activities are there. Even a culpable homicide, like in work accidents, that are a consequence of negligence of the company, are also included in this.
Really?
Yeah.
So you have to face imprisonment for negligent.
Yeah, exactly. But of course, you have to prove that the board of directors, general manager, was negligent. So it's not like an objective liability only because you hold the position. No. Yeah. The public prosecutor's office has still to prove that there was intent or that there was a negligence that can is attributable to this person, to general manager or the member of the board of directors. But in any case, now for example in work accidents, we always know the person sue always the general manager, the member of the board of directors. Yes. Perhaps they will not be convicted, but they will have to face a criminal case in which before they knew that it will never face effective imprisonment. And now it's going to be a little more dangerous.
Understood. And is there also a company sanction, like company fine or penalty against the company, or not only against the management?
Yes, we have also Chile since late 2009. We have a criminal corporate liability. that was introduced in Chile as a condition to be part of the OECD. Mm-hmm. Before that, we didn't have that. And this law also foresees that in case of some predicate offenses, that can also trigger a criminal liability of the company. Mm-hmm. But this new law, this economic crime law, also makes some important changes to this corporate criminal liability law. Mm-hmm. Because before we started with only three offenses, predicate offenses, that could trigger this criminal liability of legal entities, which were typically bribery, terrorism financing, and money laundering. Mm-hmm. But it was expanded over the years to 20. But mm-hmm. since 2024, because there was 1 year vacancy period, all economic offenses are now predicate offenses that can trigger a criminal liability of corporations. So we have, in this instance, we will have a lot of white-collar defense work in the future, but now we have a lot of work in terms of compliance, because companies that didn't have compliance programs in place now are really worried about this, because their exposure from 20 offenses to more than 200, mm-hmm. including these work accidents that could go to criminal in the criminal side that could also trigger criminal liability, it's a huge exposure for companies. So companies are really trying to have compliance programs in place or to improve the ones that they had before. Because in Chile, if you have a compliance program and an effectively implemented compliance program, it can exempt the company from criminal liability.
Only the company, but also the managers, or
only the company. Mm-hmm. That's also interesting when you have these cases. Okay, but also these compliance programs. What we are always saying, okay, this can protect the company, but of course, if you have a solid compliance program, it will also protect the officers of the company or the managers of the company, because the lesser the chances that of a criminal offense happens inside the company, the lesser is the possibility that they can also be exposed as individuals to face a criminal procedure.
Similar in Germany, of course. Sometimes compliance is used for proving or evidence that there was intentional behavior, because you have all these guidelines and rules and you cannot say didn't know about this liability issue, or that it's forbidden to have slush. And so like this. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. You have all that rules, you really have to comply with them.
Yeah.
It's better not to have them.
But it sounds this is a real great business development program for white collar crime lawyers in Chile.
Yes, it will be exciting times.
Exciting times. And really interesting how it will be handled in practice. So how it will be enforced.
Yes, because it's also a question if the public prosecutor's office will be able to handle this, because mm-hmm. it will change the possibilities to reach settlements. The also new felonies were introduced. For example, we didn't have before environmental crimes in Chile. Mm-hmm. Of course, there were some offenses in which you could try to find that there were some environmental infractions. You try to figure if there are criminal offenses or not. But now we have an environmental crime statute, mm-hmm. which is also new. And we don't see that the public prosecutor's office, which is already collapsed, and now they acted all this new law, they have to know this law. And not only the public prosecutor's office, also the specialized police. It's really a challenge for the whole system in Chile.
Are there any possibilities to discontinue proceedings on discretionary basis, for example, against payment of an amount, or
yes,
is there anything
similar?
There
are possibilities in some cases, but particularly when there are cases like fraud or cases that they have mm-hmm. only economic damage. Mm-hmm. You can reach agreements in case that there are felonies that, of course, have penalties that are lower than 3 years, for example. Then you can have a deferred prosecution agreement, for example. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if there are felonies that have 5 or less years, you can also have a plea bargaining, and there are possibilities to settle cases.
Mm-hmm. So this could maybe help to handle these difficulties later on.
Yes. The problem is that before there were a lot of cases that would not face more than 3 years of imprisonment. Mm-hmm. And now, with all these aggravated circumstances, there will be lesser cases that are at this in this position.
Understood.
So we will see how these develop.
Okay, maybe we can talk about some specific felonies like money laundering. How money laundering is very internationally relevant. So how is money laundering law and dealt with money laundering cases in Chile?
Yes, we also have a specific money laundering law here in Chile. But yeah, and there are a lot of cases, but most of the cases are drug-related cases, drug offense-related cases. Over the last years, we have seen more cases related to bribery.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also another thing, because to have money laundering, you have to have some specific predicate offenses. And at the beginning, there were only typically drug offenses or bribery. And this has been expanded over time.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, you can have money laundering for a fraud case, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the use of money laundering as an offense which the public prosecutor's office used to investigate and prosecute cases has increased, particularly because the law on money laundering gives the public prosecutor's office specific additional measures that they don't have for other cases. So for example, to have more secrecy over their investigation, or to have some measures where they don't have to notify the other party or the investigated party. So they try to always to have in these fraud cases or bribery cases, they always add money laundering, even mm-hmm. though they know that perhaps they will not get a conviction for that. But in the investigation phase, that is very useful for them and not for white collar defense.
You mentioned corruption. So is there also, how is it dealt with in Chile, commercial corruption?
Yes, because corruption case, of course, as in all countries, there is corruption also here in Chile, mm-hmm. lesser perhaps than in other Latin American countries. Mm-hmm. But there are some big cases also. And years ago, we had only a bribery for public sector, for public mm-hmm. official. But as over the last years, there was a new law with also sanctions private corruption.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have also, which is also interesting, and this has also been used in over the last years here in Chile.
And another question regarding potential sanctions. Do we also have sanctions laws, like, for example, Russia sanctions, or do they not apply directly in Chile?
No, it's really in Chile, it's a little more far away from all that. Of course, Chile does not impose by itself sanctions mm-hmm. in that terms, and also it would probably not have much effect because there is a small country. But also here in Chile, at least, there is not this thing that you are controlling if this company is included or not in the mm-hmm. sanction list of the US or of international. Of course, big multinational companies always take care of that. But normal companies here in Chile, it's not really that here we don't have a great or a big sanctions practice here, mm-hmm. here in Chile.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You mentioned the US. So how is the Pause of Foreign Corrupt Practices Act currently dealt with in Chile?
It's something that is it's very well known here in Chile mm-hmm. Because, of course, there are a lot of companies here in Chile who have interest in the US mm-hmm. or make businesses with the US. So as white collar lawyers, we always have questions of our clients about these laws in the US, and we have also we know these laws, and in order to tell our clients and how to deal with these laws. But in any case, because now this with Trump, now it is said that this law has an FCPA, it will not be really prosecuted, or it will be not as much as before. But this really, I don't think that it will have consequences for Chilean companies, because the Chilean framework for corruption practices is very hard because of all these new laws I have described before. So it really will not make a difference. It's not that we will here be more flexible. We're going the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
We are being more severe here in Chile. So companies here in Chile, they will not feel more relaxed in this in new U.S. environment, because here in Chile, the situation is still taken very seriously in terms of anti-corruption enforcement.
Yeah, it makes very similar in Germany, and I also think even it may not be prosecuted now. The probably offenses committed now will probably be prosecuted in 5 or 4 years, and who knows who will be then.
Yeah, so
which government the US will then have. So I don't think it's a reason to relax currently. And what about whistleblowing and things like that? Do you have whistleblower protection laws? How can you deal with these types of cases?
In the public sector, we have also a recently enacted law which has a protection statute for whistleblowing in the public sector.
Mm-hmm.
With reporting channels and non-retaliation provisions and so on that are customary in other countries. For the private sector, there is no specific law. Mm-hmm. But as I said, with this corporate criminal liability law, in which you have to have this compliance program in place,
mm-hmm.
in order to exempt from criminal liability, it's all, if you want to have a serious compliance program, you have to introduce some whistleblowing provisions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way in which whistleblowing protection is controlled, by introducing this in the compliance program. In other terms, we don't have laws for the private sector in connection with whistleblowing.
Mm-hmm.
We have some labor laws, but not in criminal terms. But it is taken seriously, because indirectly you want to have these compliance programs, and you have to have whistleblowing provisions in your compliance program.
Understood. And how about internal investigations? Are there any regulations for internal investigations?
No.
Do we have any obligation to internally investigate, or is this a concept not known to Chile practice?
No. In it is known in labor cases, for example, mm-hmm. sexual harassment or mobbing. Then you have to make an internal investigation, mm-hmm. and present it to the authorities. But in criminal cases, there is no obligation, and there is also no regulation. So it's just up to you in how you conduct this internal investigation. There is no obligation, mm-hmm. to share the information with authorities. So it's really more a thing of practice of every law firm who makes this, provide these services to provide internal investigations for their clients.
Mm-hmm. How about legal privilege? So is communication with lawyers privileged, or only certain types of communication? How does it work in Chile?
Well, we have only a very general provision in which, mm-hmm. there is a legal privilege in communication, client-attorney communication,
mm-hmm.
but it's just that. So the boundaries of what is implied with this legal privilege are not set. So really... and it has not been really tested in court. So
mm-hmm.
it's not very clear if it's only communications, for example, in a defense case, or what is more broad than that. Here in Chile, the approach in general is that it's very broad. But for example, it's not very clear in case of internal counsel of mm-hmm. a company, is this information privilege or not. There are not many cases with which this has been tested. But in any case, for example, for internal investigations, for that reason, because it's not very clear, we always propose or suggest our clients to make internal investigations with outside counsel, so that they are sure that this internal investigation is protected by legal privilege. Because if it's done inside, there is the risk that this is not covered by a legal privilege.
Yeah, okay, understood. That's very interesting to learn about this system and the similarities and also differences. But I understand the issues and topics we have to deal with as white collar crime lawyers are often very similar.
Yeah, that is as you say. Yeah.
Do you have something to add? What you forgot here to discuss here about the legal system in Chile?
Well, I think we went through a general overview of the system, and also I think this we have to take a look, because Chile is a small country, but I mm-hmm. think that what we have done with this white collar laws here in Chile is very unique.
Yeah.
And perhaps it's something that will be exported.
I hope so. In Germany, nobody listens too detailed in the ministry and the Secretary of State. Like,
so that I think it will be interesting news from Chile, and mm-hmm. and particularly we are glad to share them, because As law firms, we always are interested in participating in these international conferences, which we can also share these new developments. And now we will have this conference that we had this year here in Chile from the IBA.
Yeah, great conference.
Mankind conference here in Santiago. It was very interesting. And next year we will be in Athens in Greece. So yeah, that will be also an opportunity to share experiences with other colleagues from particularly from Europe.
Yeah, hopefully you see us there. I'm planning to go to Athens also.
No, that would be great.
This would be great. So thank you very much for your time. It was a great honor to have you here. And I know you're very, very busy. So thank you for your time and this great insight on the Chilean legal system. It was fantastic to listen to.
Well, thank you, Christian, for the invitation, and I'm happy to contribute to this podcast.
Yeah, and dear listeners, if you have any questions to Daniel, I will put his contact details in the show notes so you can contact him directly. Or if you have questions to me, then as always, info@rosinus-onair.com. Thank you very much, Daniel. It was a pleasure to have you here.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Christian. Bye-bye.
Der Podcast stellt lediglich einen allgemeinen Überblick über rechtliche Themen dar und ersetzt selbstverständlich keine Rechtsberatung zu konkreten Fragestellungen im Einzelfall. Bei Fragen wenden Sie sich an Rechtsanwältinnen und Rechtsanwälte Ihres Vertrauens, natürlich auch gerne an uns. www.rosinus-on-air.com oder unter www.rosinus-partner.com.